Okay. All right. So if you look at the first source, everybody can see where I highlight. Kol Hayom Kasher L'Kriyat HaMegillah U'L'Kriyat HaHalel. So I'm sorry?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, fine. Yeah, just okay. So the Mishnah in the end in Megillah is talking, of course, on Purim. So it begins at Kol Hayom Kasher L'Kriyat HaMegillah. A person can read the Megillah all day. The reading of the Megillah at night is a much later innovation. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not know of reading the Megillah at night, and I think most people know that it's much more important to read the Megillah in the daytime than at night. The night is only a minhag. But the Mishnah lists off Kriyat HaMegillah, Hallel, Shofar, Lulav, Musaf. That's the Korban Musaf and the Damni Musaf. Vidui Parim, that's on Yom Kippur, Maser, Vidui Yom Kippur, Smicha, Shrita, that's all Korbanot. So all of those mitzvot are good all day. And then the Mishnah says, Kol Hayom, Kol HaLaila, Kasher L'Ksirat Omer, L'Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim. You can do the mitzvah of Omer, the second night of Pesach, and then we count, but it begins with the bringing of the barley harvest, the first barley harvest, the putting of the fats of the Korbanot every night. And then the mission, and that's about it. There are no other mitzvot at night mentioned here. Interesting enough, they don't mention matzah. Kol alayla kasher l'ksirat omer l'chalavim zeh klal. Kol davar shemitzvato b'yom kasher kol hayom. Davar shemitzvato b'layla kasher kol alayla. Whatever is a mitzvah to do in the daytime, you have all day. You can say halal all day. You can blow shofar all day. Yeah, we like to do it in the mornings. Rizin makdimim. You can do a brit milah all day. Whenever, as long as daytime, and the mitzvah to do at night. You have to do, you have all night to do it. The rabbis, the first Mishnah in Brachot teaches us that we should do it by chatzot. We were afraid you'll fall asleep, you won't do the mitzvah, but fundamentally you have all night to do the mitzvah. What you see clearly in the Mishnah is that a mitzvah either applies in the daytime or a mitzvah applies at night. There any mitzvah that's dependent on time, obviously a mezuzah, tzedakah, those things have nothing to do with the day. So they apply all the time. But any mitzvah that's done at a specific time or, you know, okay, lighting Hanukkah candles, whatever you want to say, the mitzvah is either in the day or the night. And clearly there's a distinction between mitzvah done in the day and mitzvah done in the night. And many more mitzvah are done in the daytime. What's the one exception? There's one mitzvah that we do day and night. Anybody want to say or, right? What's the one mitzvah we do day and night? Is a mitzvah that isn't listed here because we do it day and night. And that's the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Of Kriyat Shema, but Rishof Lecha Ukumecha, there's a biblical mitzvah to say Shema every day. Even Tefillah, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Tefillah is once a day. It's really not a time-bound commandment. But the only mitzvah that I know of, I can think of, that we do day and night is the mitzvah of Shema. There is no mitzvah to eat matzah in the daytime. You can't eat bread, so all week you eat matzah. But the mitzvah is to only at night. Now,
how about Megillah?
Right, so that's what I mentioned earlier. The mitzvah Kriyat Megillah at night is a later minhag. And that probably has to do with the love of Megillah, right? It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Megillah is mentioned in the Gemara, but that was that's really a minhag. And we know there are other halakhot. For example, you know, two people aren't supposed to say kiddush. This often happens at the Pesach Seder, where you have, there are 25 people, and they don't want the men, even though women are equally obligated, but the 10 men will say kiddush altogether. That is not ideal, because we have a notion when more than one person speaks at the same time, they don't speak in unison, 100%. That's why Kaddish, the original minhag in Kaddish, was only one person said it, but there were so many fights in shul on who got to say Kaddish. They would take turns saying, okay, you can all say it together. But really, only one person is supposed to say Kaddish, and that's why when they say it all together, it should be all together. They should come into the front of the shul and to say it. Mikmar Megillah is an exception a little bit, because the Gemara says people love the Megillah. It's Chavivam. People are so excited. So I'm imagining, because of the excitement of Megillat Esther, the minhag developed to say it at night. But the halacha that Mordechai and Esther established to read the Megillah, that's only in the daytime. Now this, it's not just, okay, day and night. There seems to be a conflict even between the mitzvot. And that, of course, is in the famous story we read at the beginning of the Seder with the five rabbis in Rabbi Akiva's home in Bnei Brak. So they're discussing the Seder. Where is it? until their students came, Ramrulam Rabotenu, Higiasman Kriyat Shma Shel Shachrit. The time to say Shema in the morning has come. Big deal. So what? You can say Shema, you have 3 hours to say Shema. But clearly the Haggadah is telling us that when the morning came, there's no mitzvah to tell the story of the Exodus. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetziv Mitzrayim only applies at night. And somehow there's a quasi-contradiction even between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziv Mitzrayim, which is at night, and the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is in the morning. It can't be at the same time. Either you're saying the Haggadah, or either you're saying Shema. So like, the question is, why is that so? And what does that all represent? So just a little bit, I think everybody understands instinctively, and we know, of course, day represents hope, light, and hope for the future, and night is fear. We say emet v'yatziv in the morning, emet v'emuna. Emuna, faith, is a nighttime mida, almost. The attribute of faith really applies at night. You can't see, you don't know what's going to be, and night, of course, on a physical level, especially before electricity, but of course on a, on a metaphysical level, on a symbolic level, night represents the unknown fear. So we'll just quote a few psukim here. This first one is the Brit Ben Haftarim, when God tells Abraham, wasn't yet Abraham, that your descendants will be slaves in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. And notice how the introduction to the pasuk, Vayishemesh Lavo, the sun was about to set. Who cares? But apparently that's important. But Tardeima Nafla Abraham, you went to bed at night. So ever went to bed, he couldn't sleep, apparently. Dark descended upon him. And God came to him and said, So the Brit Ben Haftarim, the Torah makes a big deal to tell us that it happened at the beginning of the night. As the sun was setting, Avram went to sleep. That's what you do at night. That's what they used to do. And that's when Brit Ben Haftarim. When we go down to Egypt, and this is like an amazing verse. Vayomer Elohim Yisrael b'marat halayla. Vayomer Yaakov. So first of all, it's very interesting. The pasuk starts with Yisrael, Yaakov's new name, and then it switches to Yaakov. But God, again, who really cares? But the Torah tells us it's b'marat halayla, that God told Yaakov to go. He appeared to him at night, and he told him, Al teira mirda mitraima. Do not fear to go to Egypt. Why was Yaakov afraid to go to Egypt? Why should Yaakov have been afraid to go to Egypt? You think he wanted to go to Egypt. Why is Yaakov going to Egypt? He's going to Egypt to see his son, right? He's been mourning for 22 years.
But he knows the prophecy.
I'm sorry?
He knows the prophecy of Brit Ben Haftarim.
Yeah, it's very nice. But so probably Yaakov thought that, Yaakov thought that prophecy may have been fulfilled already. When? And when he went to Laban's house, when Yaakov went to Laban's house, that's the precursor to Egypt. You wonder in the Seder, say omad mavikesh Laban arami lasol the Yaakovina, right? We throw Laban in the middle of the Seder, right? Arami obeyed ami, we married Mitzrayim. So we talk about that, but it's more than just the fact that Laban persecuted Yaakov. And the truth of the matter, what did that have to do with going down to Egypt? Arameo Veid Aviva Yerid Mitzrayimah. Some say Arameo Veid Aviva doesn't even mean Laban, it means Yaakov, whatever it means. But Yaakov didn't go to Egypt because of Laban. After Laban's house, he came back home. He came to Israel. He was there a long time. Yosef was 17 years old. There's no immediate connection between Laban and Egypt. The Haggadah is making that as a drasha. The simple meaning of the verse is there's no connection between Laban and Egypt. But the deeper connection is that Laban's house is the prototype. What's Laban? It's Inui, Abdut, and Gerut, right? What the God? Yadot Tideki Geriyaz Aracha, Abdum Vinuotam. That three languages. The last one, Im Laban Garti, right? He was a Ger. The Eved and Inui that Yaakov experienced. So Yaakov probably thought that was the fulfillment of the Brit Ben Haftarim that he experienced Abdut and Inui. But when he wants to go to Egypt, he's excited And B, I don't have the psukim here, but the first thing he says, let me go quickly to see my son before he dies. Remember, they tell him he's alive. He has a heart attack. Vayapek libo. And then he says, I'm going to go to Egypt right away. And he packs his bags. He's running to Egypt, obviously. And then all of a sudden, we don't know why, God appears to him in Marat HaLaila and tells him, don't be afraid because I'll make you into a great nation. So what's he afraid of? We don't know. I mean, the Torah doesn't tell us. So when the Torah doesn't tell us, it means we can't know. It means that we can give a suggestion. The Torah is happy for us to give various suggestions, but they're all speculation. You could say, right, he realized this was not a weekend trip to see Yosef. He realized that maybe now he realized that Laban was just the beginning. Now it's going to be a lot worse. Perhaps on a more, more profound level or whatever, a different level, he was afraid of what he was going to find. He was very excited that Yosef was alive, but hold on a second. Then when he found out he was excited, what do you mean Yosef's alive? Well, where has he been for the last 22 years? What do you mean he's the viceroy of Egypt, right? Yehu Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Well, why didn't he get in? Something's very strange here. Is Yosef going to be an Egyptian? Is he going to be a Jew? So maybe he was afraid of what he was going to say. And we know that once Yaakov comes to Egypt, there's very, very little contact between Yosef and his father. They were different. Yosef was an Egyptian. We called Yosef a tzaddik because he retained his connection to Judaism. But I'm sure to many people, he was a full Egyptian. He spoke Egyptian. He dressed like an Egyptian. He had an Egyptian name. He was in the palace. Obviously, very different from his upbringing. Anyway, but the idea that it's b'marat halayla. This is on a rabbinic level, as we understand the psukim, this idea, right? It's going to be the beginning of the exile. So that's the notion of b'marat halayla. That has to be at night. Now, just want to quote this next pasuk here, then, which is, I find it such a fascinating pasuk. The Jewish people were in Egypt for 430 years. Okay, not 400 years, 430. It repeats itself. At the end of 430 years, we already have in Parshat Miketz, at the end of 2 years, the time Shana Paro had a dream. Here it's at the end. And Kates is sort of like an abrupt end. After 430 years, Vahipa Etsamayomazah, in the middle of the day, and Yatsu Kol Tzivot Yisrael Mitzrayim, I find that sort of the contrast between 430 years and this particular day. You know, after 430 years, does it really matter what day it is? Okay, Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem. It's a night that God watches us, Lahotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim. Because that's when God took us out of Egypt. It's already, what do you mean? I thought we left it. So here, it's not exactly a contradiction, but if I'm just reading this pasuk, the simple meaning of this pasuk, Leil Shimurim Lashem Lotziyam Eretz Yitzrayim, the night for God to take us out of Egypt, it sounds like we left Egypt at night, right? The Jewish day begins at night. Yom can mean night. It was Be'etzem, the Etzem may not, but it's the Torah calls it a Leil Shimurim. Why? Because that's when we're taken out of Egypt. Now, go down here. Okay, Shmot Yad Gimel, we left. Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Aviv. You're leaving today. That doesn't necessarily, by the way, mean in the day. Today doesn't mean today like in the daytime. It means today. You know, whatever. Today has a night and a day. But it's also fascinating the way the Torah says, you're leaving today B'Chodesh Aviv. Like, what does that have to do with anything? That we have to leave Mitzrayim B'Chodesh Aviv, and this theme, of course, is picked up here, which does seem to contradict what we saw earlier. It says, Shamor at Chodesh Aviv. By the way, this is the mitzvah to have a Jewish calendar. It's from this pasuk that we learned that Pesach has to be in the springtime, and therefore our calendar, which is a moon-based calendar, which is the beginning of the Exodus. The Exodus begins with establishing a calendar. We've spoken many times because a slave has no concept of time. The difference between a free person and a slave is time. The difference between chametz and matzah is only time. It's all about time, right? Knowing one day doesn't flow into the next. So Shamor at Chodesh Aviv, we have to keep the month of Aviv, Asita Pesach, ki b'chodesh aviv hotziyacha. So the Pesach has to be in the spring. We need a leap year because we left Egypt in Chodesh Aviv. So here it's very interesting. We don't even care what day we left Egypt. You know, Nisan's a special month, right? There's a whole question going on now. I saw Rav Moshe Lichtenstein of Haaretz Yon wrote that he thinks we should still say Avinu Malkeinu every day. You know, I was saying Avinu Malkeinu at Shacharit and Mincha and Tachanun, even though the halakha is normally you don't say Tachanun in Nisan. He said, how can you not say Tachanun with what's going on? But we know that the Chodesh Nisan is a special month. You kind of see it here. The Torah really doesn't care what day we left Egypt. And now you begin to understand the question in the Haggadah, Yachome Rosh Chodesh. Maybe I can celebrate Pesach on Rosh Chodesh. Who needs to wait till the 15th of Nisan? The day doesn't really matter because it's Chodesh Aviv that I left Egypt. So the Haggadah says, no, I would have thought, but it still has to be at night. But here what the Torah says is, when did we leave Egypt? We left at night. Hotziyacha Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim at Laila. The Pasuk, I don't know of any other way to interpret this verse. The Pasuk is very clear. It's also funny. Who cares? Like, if the whole month doesn't really matter, if we left the day and night, the whole month. But the Torah says, why do we have to make Pesach not the 15th of Nisan, in Chodesh Aviv? Because in that month, in that special, beautiful month, God took you out of Egypt at night. So I just find this, the Torah is sort of playing around with the nights. Here and then maybe we'll start. Okay, I'll just do this and then I'll unshare the screen. This we read it all the time on the Yamim Tovim. Eile Mo'adei Hashem, Asher Tikru Tam B'Mo'adam. B'Chodesh HaRishon B'Avar Sal L'Chodesh Bein Arbaim Pesach L'Hashem. That the first month, the 14th of the first month is Pesach. U'B'Chamishasar Yom L'Chodesh Ezechach HaMatzot L'Hashem. And on the 15th, it's Chag HaMatzot, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. 7 days eat matzah. So you see right away in the Torah, we know we don't really have Pesach. Pesach is a misnomer. Pesach is celebrated on the 14th of Nisan. It's right here in the Chumash. Ba'arba asar l'chodesh bein harbaim, in the afternoon. So Pesach is an afternoon holiday, right? It's the ba'arba asar l'chodesh bein harbaim Pesach l'Hashem. U'b'chamisha asar. And the next day, the 15th, it's a Chag HaMatzot. But Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaPesach are not the same. Now we don't have a Korban Pesach, so we sort of have merged the two, but it's pretty clear that there's a pretty big difference between Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaPesach. Okay, I'm gonna go back onto the screen here. Okay,
Jay, can I just ask you, like,
sure,
when you have Makat Bechorot, it says Lo Teitzu Ish Mipetach Beito on Boker, so it seems clear that the Makat lasted all night. And everybody was to stay inside. So how would that reconcile with the?
This is not a shiur necessarily to reconcile. You know what exactly happened. Why does the Torah in Dvarim say Laila? I mean, the truth of the matter, those who are up on the subject a little bit know that. Say for Dvarim, I didn't do the whole parsha. There are a lot of differences between how Pesach is presented in Sefer Dvarim and how it's presented in Sefer Shemot. For example, Ubishalta Bachalta. It says in Sefer Dvarim, you can cook the Korban Pesach. I mean, that's the word, Ubishalta. We know that has to be, you know, Sliyesh. So the commentaries all struggle with this issue. Why are there the contradictions between the two? But the Shemot, Yom and Laila, I don't know that Laila has to mean like the whole night. But yeah, the assumption is we did leave in the daytime. I'm just pointing out the Torah in one place, Leil Shimurim, and there in Sefer Dvarim, it's very clear we left at night. And again, it could be the Gemara, by the way, there's leaving and there's leaving. Like, when did I leave? Well, I left when I went into the car to go to the airport, but I didn't get on my flight till 6 hours later. You know, you don't leave in a moment, you leave over, it's a process of leaving. So I left my house, but until I went away, it's not the same thing. So, you know, there is a difference. You see, the Torah is very concerned with night and day. And it's clear going down to Egypt is night. That's a night activity, right? Because God tells Abraham at night. God tells Yaakov at night. The Torah doesn't have to tell. Does it really matter if God appeared to Abraham in the nighttime? Now, of course, then he told him, go count all the stars. So I understand it. But he could have said, you could be like all the sand on the earth. That's a daytime thing. So The Torah was very concerned with night and day, and that's where we started. Mitzvot have to be at night or day. The Torah is very meticulous, whatever word you want to use about that. But I want to start to, with the Pesach and the Matzah. So I said that the Chag HaPesach is the 14th of Nisan, because that's in the afternoon. That's when you bring the Korban Pesach. And Chag HaMatzah, it starts at night. However, Chag HaPesach is an interesting holiday, because what time does Chag HaPesach begin? When it said, it doesn't begin in the morning. It begins Bein Harbayim. Bein Harbayim means in the afternoon, right? 12:30, let's say on a perfect day, when sun rises at 6 and sunsets at 6, it's afternoon. Just that we can daven mincha, let's say at 12:30. So you can bring the Korban Pesach the earliest, and that's when it was brought, when occasionally the Korban Pesach you can bring it 6.5 hours after sunrise. So the holiday of Pesach, we'll say, begins at noon on the 14th of Nisan. When does the holiday of Pesach end? When does Pesach end and Chag HaMatzot begin? I scared people with that question. Okay, so when do you eat the Korban Pesach? At night, at the Seder. Al Matzot u'merorim yochluhu, right? Sliyesh Matzot, you have to eat matzah. So the Pesach ends the next morning, right? We added a rabbinic stricture to finish, read by the Apikom, we mentioned at Chatzot. But Pesach begins in the day, let's say this year. Pesach begins, let's say, Wednesday at noon, or 12:30, whatever. And it ends on Thursday morning at sunrise. It's 6 in the morning, right, in theory. When does Chag HaMatzot begin? So Chag HaMatzot begins on the 15th. When's the 15th of Nisan? So the 15th of Nisan is Wednesday night, when it gets dark, 7:30, whatever. So what happens is you've got like a 6-hour period or a 12-hour period where it's both Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot at the same time. What makes the Seder night so special, it's two holidays. Because in the Torah, there's Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaPesach is the 14th and Chag HaMatzot is the 15th. But the holiday of the 14th extends into the night of the 15th. And therefore, we have the Seder, the Matzah, Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot come together at night. Now, why is that so? So this is something I think perhaps if we thought about it, we'd all realize, but we don't know that we pay attention, that the calendar was different in the temple. Temple time functioned differently than outside of temple time. What do I mean by that? So we all know the day starts at night, Vahir, Vahi Boker. That's how we understand it, at least on a halachic level, to mean that our day starts in the evening, which is very interesting. However, right, when do non-Jews start the day at midnight, in the middle of the night, right? We start the day at the beginning of night. It's a little bit interesting because we start our year in the spring, right? Non-Jews, the Christian calendar, they start the day in the dark at midnight, and they start the year on January 1st, the dead of winter. The Jewish people start the year in the spring, right? That's where spring is hope and renewal. So that's the beginning of the year. It's a little, now, the reason the Christians do it is because of Jesus. I always teach to kids, the calendar used to start in March, right? If in, September, Sept is the seventh month, October, is 8, November is 9, December is 10. The calendar used to start in March because who wants to start a calendar in the winter? You always start in the spring. And what happened was, by February, they didn't have enough days. You ever wonder why February has 28 days? Because they went through the calendar, and by the end of the year, they ran out of days because the calendar began at March. And then they went to February. So February only had 28 days because I didn't need those extra days, right? So, and then because of Christianity, we moved the calendar to the beginning of January. But the calendar starts, our calendar starts in the spring, B'chodesh HaRishon. The day should start in the morning. Why do we want to start a day at night? Night is fear and faith. We want to start a day, Avram. Get up, Bayashkem Avram, Baboker. You want to get up in the morning, want to hope, future. So the truth of the matter, we do start the day in the day. But that's only in the temple. In the Beit HaMikdash, the day changed in the morning. When you bring a korban, so you can eat that korban generally for one day. Now, let's say you brought the korban at Monday at 11 o'clock in the morning. So when does your day end? So your day ends at Tuesday at dawn. The day is the day and the night. So that's in the Beit HaMikdash. Outside of the Beit HaMikdash, it starts at night. But really, where the Shekhinah is, where God is, you have to start the day in the morning. How can you start the day at night? God is light. God is hope. So in the Beit HaMikdash, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch develops this idea that in the Beit HaMikdash, the day starts in the daytime. We begin with hope and yearning and light. Outside the temple, when we're a little bit removed from the divine presence, we can't feel God in that same closeness, so the day starts at night. So on Pesach, we come together, because the Korban Pesach is a Beit HaMikdash holiday, right? You can't bring the Korban Pesach if you're not in Yerushalayim. You're not in the Beit HaMikdash. So Korban Pesach is a Beit HaMikdash holiday. That holiday starts on the 14th, and it ends on the 14th. It ends at the beginning of the 15th. It's not that we can eat the Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan. You can only eat the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Just the 14th of Nisan in the Beit HaMikdash ends, and on the next morning. The 15th starts at night. Chag HaMatzot begins at night, because outside the Beit HaMikdash, we begin at night. So for that overlap period, the period when it's the night of the 14th, but it's the in the temple, and it's the night of the 15th outside of the temple, the Korban Pesach and the matzah come together. That's what makes Pesach so special. Basically, what we're doing and what the rabbis later did is they turned our home into a Beit HaMikdash, right? We know the reason we do Netilat Yadayim, the reason we put salt on bread, the reason we do so many of our minhagim is Mikdash Rat. The reason we light the Hanukkah candles, right? The Hanukkah menorah was only lit in the Beit HaMikdash. There's no mitzvah to light ever. It's after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, perhaps. Could even be while the Beit HaMikdash stood, there was no mitzvah to light at home. Our rabbis turned our home into a Beit HaMikdash, a Mikdash Mat. So, and Pesach is the symbol of that. Pesach is, we take the Mikdash, we put it in our home, we combine the matzah and the Pesach. Now, Pesach is for sure represents the notion of our freedom, right? That's obvious. Pesach is, we became free. That's how we became free, was by slaughtering the Korban Pesach, putting the blood, the beginning of our mezuzah, proudly identifying as Jews, and Pesach is the symbol of freedom. Matzah is a little bit more complicated. It's a very simple question, but the answer is not so simple. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach, right? You ask any kid in kindergarten, why do you eat matzah on Pesach? So we eat matzah on Pesach because we left in a big hurry. We didn't have time to bake matzah. There are a few problems with that. The first I'm not saying it isn't true. I'm just saying, the life is full of complexity. Part of the problem is, what do you mean we left in a hurry? How much notice do we have that we were leaving?
Right? From Rosh Chodesh.
Right. So what do you mean we left in a hurry? Why did we put the blood of the Korban Pesach on our doorpost? Because we knew we were leaving in the morning, right? We had all night, right? When we left night, right? We knew we were leaving. What do you mean we didn't have enough time? We had plenty of time to prepare. So it's not exactly true that we didn't have time. Maybe they did not prepare, just because people know, maybe they thought they were leaving in the morning. Maybe really they were kicked out of the house at night. Like I say, maybe they left their houses at night, but didn't leave Egypt till the morning. However you want to interpret it. But it's not so simple that that's why we eat matzah. But of course we eat that, the matzah that we eat because we left Egypt in a hurry is the matzah of freedom, right? But why else do we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah? Because matzah is
food of slaves.
I'm sorry?
Because food of slaves.
Halach manya, right? We begin the Seder, halach manya. We're not eating matzah because we left Egypt. We're eating matzah because we were in Egypt, right? Halach manya, we were slaves in Egypt. And therefore, we have to eat matzah to commemorate. So the question is matzah the food of slaves, or is matzah the food of a free person? Of course, the answer is it's both. Matzah is freedom and slavery. How can it be freedom and slavery? What does matzah represent? Matzah represents the transition of freedom from being a slave to Paro to being a slave to God. We're avadim l'Hashem, right? Hallelujah, abdeyat Hashem, right? Now, in our way of thinking, to be a slave unto God is the greatest act of freedom. By being a slave to God, that liberates us from so much. The fact that I have to leave my office on Friday afternoon, I mean, the fact that I don't have to worry what everybody says because I want to satisfy what God has to say. So matzah is, again, this idea of freedom and slavery mixed in together. And that's why, that's really the question of the Manishtana. Like, why are we eating matzah? Are we eating matzah to commemorate our freedom, our slavery? And of course, the answer is both. But the Korban Pesach is for sure freedom. The matzah, we begin to say there, halach manya, and we combine what's really going on Pesach. What's going on with the night and day is basically our rabbis understood that the process of redemption is a very difficult process. And it's when I'm going to go back. Let me just show the verse again. When we left Egypt, right? When the Torah says, it's funny, it came out different that way. Can everybody see the on their screen? Right? It says, the Torah says, where's the Moshav and Israel Hashem Yitzrayim, 430 years. My screen is actually blocked. And then it says, Bet Samay Yom Hazeh. We left Egypt after 430 years, after in the middle of the day. And the reason for that is basically, when is the redemption? So on the one hand, the redemption is after 430 years. And on the other hand, the redemption is... give me one second. The redemption is immediately, right? Just hold on. Something's not right with my screen. Give me one moment. Yeah. Okay, hold on. All right. So the Seder night, Geula has to begin at night. All the mitzvot of the Seder are done at night. The mitzvah to tell the story is at night. The mitzvah to eat matzah is only at night. The mitzvah to drink the four cups of wine is only at night. The morning, when the night ends, the students come to tell Rabbi Akiva. Night represents fear and trepidation. We have faith that there will be the redemption. But for most of Jewish history, there's no redemption, right? We've had the Seder in worse conditions than we are today. This is not a great way to have a Seder, but believe me, for much of Jewish history, it was a lot worse, and there were worse plagues and worse persecutions. So the Seder was really the idea that the Geula is going to start at night. It's going to be a difficult process, but it's going to begin, but it's going to come to morning. And it's very interesting. The Seder in Bnei Brak takes place in Rabbi Akiva's house. Right, Rabbi Akiva is really one of the younger people at the gathering. Rabbi Tarfon is much older than he is. By the way, Rabban Gamliel is missing. Right, it's very interesting. Rabban Gamliel is missing from that Seder. Probably it was a time when he was impeached. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is there, and the rabbis are sitting around. Who's Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva in our tradition is the rabbi of hope. It's Rabbi Akiva who laughs when their fox is coming out of the Beit HaMikdash. It's Rabbi Akiva when they're killing him, can say, now I can fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavtat Hashem, to love my God, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, afilu notel et nafshecha, even if God is killing you. Rabbi Akiva is the one who, after Yom Kippur, when the temple is destroyed, he says, who needs a temple? Ashrechem Yisrael, blessed are you Israel, mi metar etchem, who purifies you, avinu shebashman. Forget the temple, the sacrifice. You don't need all of that. You've got God. Don't worry. Rabbi Akiva is always the representative of hope. And hope, of course, is always represented by people who are young. Older people, we've experienced too much, and we become more cynical. Youth are, that's why the Mishnah says the prophecy was taken away and it was given to fools and young people. Doesn't mean young people are fools. It means that young people have the idealism where they can prophesize and see beautiful things. where older people know, you know, the reality doesn't work that way, but we need to be young. We need the young people. So the Agada is telling us, you know, you're sitting in the night, everything being eaten at the night time, but the morning Shema comes, and it's the students who come and tell him that do not worry, there's going to be hope. The Seder, the night Seder is over. The 430 years of the process of the Ekeula is ending, and now it's Hayom, Asher Yetzat Mitzrayim. It took a long, long time to get to this stage, right? The Geula that, please God, we're in the midst of now, it's been a long process, right? We started returning to Israel 140 years ago or so, whatever. When Jude, you want to talk the time of the Vilna Gaon, right after him, the beginning of the 1800s, Jews started returning. It's a long process. And we take steps forward, steps backwards. It's hundreds of years. And then it comes keherifying. That's what it comes like the blink of an eye. And that's exactly what's going on Pesach. We're going down to Egypt, the fear, but we can still celebrate in the night. Even when it's dark, you have to celebrate in the night. And the Korban Pesach and the Matzah are united. We bring the Beit HaMikdash, we bring God, the hope, and the temple, the daytime, the Korban Pesach has to sort of be eaten with the matzah, right? The matzah, you can't eat it alone. You must eat it with the Korban Pesach. You can't just think of the slavery. You have to think of the freedom. And if you look, you know, by the time, I don't know, you know, the who pays attention but to all the songs at the back of the Seder, right? Near, you know, so people, yeah, everybody kind of knows it's easy, it's in English, it's in easy Hebrew, and it's fun. And but you know, those early pew team, you know, that are that nobody knows, or not so many tunes to, you know, so the first like piyut we say in Nirtzen, so it was in the middle of the night. And the song goes through, Azros Nisimi Fleta Balila. So many miracles happen at night. And Ger Tzedek Nitzavta Kenechlach Lo Laila. Ger Tzedek, of course, is Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had his first victory at night. That's the war with all the kings. Danta Melech Rar Becham Lo Laila. Right, Avimelech had the dream, don't touch the wife, you know, give her back. Lavan, and we go through Achashverosh, and we go through Assyria. The Assyrian army was defeated at night, and the piyut goes through all the wonderful things that happen at night. In other words, in the darkness of the night, often we don't realize it. We don't realize it till years later what had happened. And then the piyut ends, Karav Yom Asher Hu Yom Lulo Yom Velo Laila. Soon will be the day that it's neither night nor day. Ramodaki Lecha Hashem Aflecha Halayla. Sharmim Afked Lircha Kol Yom Lecha. Have guards at the night in the temple all day and all night. That was a halacha. You had to have like at Lahabdil at Buckingham Palace. I assume they're guards, you know, 24/7. But we end that Ta'ir Kayom Yom Keshkalayla. The night should be turned into the day. And in a certain way, this line summarizes what the entire Seder is all about. Sometimes we can get in song and poetry, you know, which you can't get in all a picture's worth 1,000 words ke'ilu. I know it's words, but still, the idea that the night should turn into day, that's what Pesach is all about. And that's why you have all these mitzvot that combine the night and the day. We bring that's why the Korban Pesach is really the main part of the Seder. We today have matzah as the main part, but we know the Korban Pesach was much more important than eating matzah. It's an Isser Kari. Korban Pesach and Brit Milah are the only two mitzvot in the Torah that a person who doesn't observe them gets Kari. Normally, Kari is for negatives, eating on Yom Kippur, eating Chametz. You don't eat matzah, you didn't eat matzah. It's like any other mitzvah you didn't do. Of course, you should do it, but it's not so terrible. But not having the Korban Pesach, because Pesach is all about redemption. And Pesach is all about being in the daytime, but you can only have the daytime if you have the night. We couldn't be free till we went to Egypt. God had to send us to Egypt to learn to develop our sensitivity to strangers. We say this all the time, but because it's so true. And the Torah says it all the time. The Torah says it 36 times, you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and therefore you have to be nice to the stranger. So we have to have the night before we have the day, and we can celebrate in the night. So even when it's dark outside, and even when we don't know what the future holds, and I think it's very obviously true for what we're all going through now, or hopefully for all of us, it should just be sort of the economic suffering and the suffering of not being together with people, We shouldn't, the people who are really sick should have a refuah shleima, and we should, their night should really turn in into day. But that's you have to have the night, and we can celebrate in the night. The students will wake us up. The young people will tell us it's time. Before we know, we don't even know the morning has come. We're so ensconced in what we're doing. We're so bogged down in all the details. The students have to knock on the door and say, the time for the mitzvah, the Seder is over. All the night mitzvah are over, and now we have the mitzvah day. We have Kriyat Shema at night, because what's Shema? Shema is about accepting God. It's Kabbalat Olmachut Shemaim. That's why Shema becomes the only mitzvah that you have to be Mekabal Olmachut Shemaim at night, and you have to be Mekabal Olmachut Shemaim in the daytime. So that's why now I just see somebody asked me, what about the mitzvah of Sukkah? So that's also only at night. You're not allowed to eat outside of the Sukkah, but you can go the whole week. You can eat all the week fruit and vegetables, even meat and potatoes, you know, strictly speaking, and even a small amount of bread. Halachically speaking, a small piece of cake or bread, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. We are all strict about that. But the mitzvah, it's like eating of the matzah. There's no mitzvah to eat matzah the whole week, according to most opinions. For sure, no obligation to eat matzah. So the obligation is only the first night. So just let's review a little bit, try to put this all together. So I just began by talking about what Dusty Rosenberg had said, how God is present when they're 10 and 5 and 3 and 1. And whatever situation we find ourselves, it's not always easy, but we have faith that God is with us. We can find God in all moments of time. The Gemara was well aware of that, and the Gemara said that a person who's alone has to ask the questions to himself, and that's really what the whole notion of prayer is about, all being alone before God. We like to be alone within a community. Today our community is a Zoom community, but that's a lot better than not having a Zoom community. Then we discussed the mitzvah of the Torah divided between day and night, and you notice already most mitzvot are in the daytime, because the daytime is hope and connection to God. God is distant from us at night. So lulav, shofar, you know, all the main mitzvot, brit milah, you know, become part of the covenant. All the mitzvot, the majority of the mitzvot are done in the day. There are a few mitzvot here and there. The leftover, what's left over from the sacrifices you do at night. Avram Avinu represents daytime, but much of our history, we're B'nai Yisrael, we're from Yaakov. Yaakov runs away. We daven Mari because of Yaakov. Yaakov has to go down to Egypt at the night, and all the mitzvot in the Haggadah are all at nighttime. And it could be whether we did or we did not, but the Torah, at least in one place, tells us we did leave Egypt at night. We turned the night into day, so to speak. The process of redemption is a long, long process. 430 years in the middle of the day. Last for 430 days, and then you're out. They knew they couldn't. They knew they had 2 weeks warning about matzah, and still it came like that. It's the same idea. They have warning, but it comes when you least expect it, even if you know that it's coming. And of course, this idea of the freedom is represented in the Korban Pesach that has to sort of take over from the matzah, which is really, really halachmanya. It's why we serve the slaves, and then we look. Pesach is all about the daytime, the Beit HaMikdash. We celebrate day and night come together. The night of the Seder is the daytime in the Beit HaMikdash, the continuation, so to speak, of the day of the 14th. The 14th and the 15th meld together at the Seder night, which makes it so special. And we look forward to when when all the things at night are turned into the day. And that's the last piyut we say, that there will be a time when even at the night we'll see the light. So with that, if anybody has any questions, we'll stop. I will post the source sheet. Yeah, thank you. We'll post it on our website. And I want to welcome, on Sunday, we have three shiurim. This Sunday, 11 o'clock morning, Adam Mintz. Rabbi Adam Mintz is very good. He's talking about prohibition and wine. It's a fascinating historical subject. And at 2 o'clock, Dr. Avram Steinberg, who's like the world's expert in medicine and halakha, will be giving a talk on halakhic issues of COVID-19. You have to register. You have to pre-register for that. And then at 8 o'clock at night, Professor Reinhold, who's been teaching the last 2 weeks, will talk about free will and God's foreknowledge on a philosophical level. So we invite everybody. Want to wish everybody Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach, and to be well. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.